Good morning, and welcome in the name of Christ. It's so good to have you here with us for this morning's message. Today we are working with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 through chapter 5, verse 2. New York has become a destination for many tourists, not only from the United States, but people come to see this great city from all over the world. When tourists do visit New York City, many of them will go to a Broadway show or take in a performance at Carnegie Hall. There's an old joke that is often used by New Yorkers who must often deal with tourists. When someone walks up to one of them and asks for directions, "Sir, how do you get to Carnegie Hall?" they will sometimes respond by saying, "Practice, practice, practice." Of course, what the person inquiring really wants to know is, what direction do I go to actually get there? But yet, the point that is made is well taken. The way we get better in our performance with anything is to practice. Most of you know that I like to play a little golf when I get the chance, and one of the greatest golfers of all time was Ben Hogan. Hogan was known for his work ethic and spending many hours on the practice range. One day after he won one of many major tournaments, a reporter asked him, "Mr. Hogan, how is it that even when you're playing in a major tournament, you don't seem to let the pressure get to you, but are able to hit some miraculous shots?" After a short pause, Hogan responded by saying, "Well, I'm just lucky, I guess." Then the reporter added, "Yes, but you spend more of your time practicing than any other golfer I have ever covered." "Yes, I guess that's true," Hogan said. "I've found that the more I practice, the luckier I get." We all know that if we want to get better at doing anything, we need to spend time doing it repeatedly. If we wish to become more proficient at just about anything in life, we must spend time practicing it. I remember back when I was about 12, my parents thought I should learn how to play the organ. The organist in our church was to be my instructor, and at first, I thought it was a good idea. She even thought I had some musical talent and that I could learn if I really wanted to. Of course, the key to learning how to play any type of musical instrument is that you need to work at it. It takes hours and hours of practice to even develop a mediocre level of proficiency. At age 12, I found out very quickly that I would need to work very, very hard in order to learn how to play the organ. Starting out, I practiced a lot. But my progress was slow and I quickly became discouraged, and I began to spend less and less time practicing. My teacher began to notice by my performance that I had not been practicing as much as I should have, and she would ask, "How much did you practice on this last week?" Of course, she already knew the answer. It was obvious that I had not practiced nearly as much as I needed to in order to get better at my performance of the piece of music she had assigned me to work on. Do you realize that the same can be said of us as we try to live out the principles of the Christian faith? Everywhere we go during the week, people are watching us to see if we are practicing the faith lessons we learned in church on Sunday. While we know that practice will not likely make us perfect, practicing our Christian principles is something we must do on a daily basis. The question has always been asked of successful people, those who have risen to the top of their fields: were they born or were they made? There was a book that came out a while back that sought to try to answer this question. The title of the book was Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. Understanding the truth behind why some people rise beyond the level of mediocrity in their given field has always been an area of debate. Again, are they made or are they born? What he discovered was rather a common sense answer. It was actually a little of both. Success happens when two key factors come together: potential and work ethic. Or to state it another way, talent and practice. The answer is not either or, but rather geniuses are both born and made. I believe it was Thomas Edison who said, "Genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration." If you want to accomplish something of worth, or if you want to improve your performance with anything, you have to work at it. There has always been a common myth in America that some successful people become successful all by themselves. We say that they ascended the ladder of success by pulling themselves up by their own bootstraps. This, however, is rarely ever true. The truth is that most everyone who has become a success did not do so just on their own. They had a lot of help and support from friends, family, and co-workers who encouraged them and mentored them. This is especially true for us as Christians. We are not expected to practice our faith on our own. Paul clearly expresses this same sentiment in his letter to the Ephesians. If you are going to mature in your faith and get better at living out the Christian life, you need to be part of a church that will encourage you and mentor you in your efforts. Paul reminds the Ephesians that they had been taught the truth that is in Jesus by himself and others. That truth happens when we put away the pagan practices of our former life. Paul says that we are to put off your old self and to put on the new self, verses 22 through 24. When we regularly participate in a church, we get the benefit of being with other Christians who will mentor us in our Christian faith. Being a Christian on your own is difficult. In order for us to have the best chance of success, we need to be part of a faith community. As Paul says in verse 25, we are members of one another. This means we are interconnected. As Paul would say in several of his letters, we are all part of one body, the body of Christ. But again, how do we get better at living out the principles of the Christian faith? We must practice. All the training and nurturing in the world will not make us successful if we fail to practice what we have learned and apply what we have been taught to our lives. We have all met talented people. But pure talent is not enough to make someone successful. Nurture and education are also just a foundation on which someone might be able to build success. What Gladwell states in his book makes the difference between the potential for success and actual success is regular and consistent practice. So I think we agree that practice will make us a better Christian. If that is so, then what are the things we need to be practicing? First of all, we read in the Gospels that Jesus' disciples followed him around for about 3 years before he left them on their own. Paul urges his churches to take what they have learned from him and put it into practice. Here he even begins to list several things for them to begin practicing. Paul says to begin with, they should practice telling the truth to one another. Being truthful with one another and trusting one another is the glue that holds a community together. Lying and dishonesty will have the opposite effect on any organized group. As part of a church, we must be honest and sincere with each other in order to build trust and to be able to work together effectively. As well as being truthful with one another, we must also deal honestly with anger. Secrets and gossip create false assumptions and will lead to hurt and anger. Paul warns, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Verses 26 and 27. Dealing with hurt feelings and anger quickly gives everyone involved the chance to deal with problems while they are still small. It enables people to forgive others and restores the feeling of community before bitterness and resentment have the chance to get a foothold. In verse 28, Paul cautions people about stealing. He encourages people to work at a job and to do it faithfully so as to have something to share with those in need. Paul then cautions the Ephesians to watch what they say. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up, Paul says. This is an area where we must all be very careful. How many among us have spoken words in anger that we have later regretted? In our current political climate, loose and evil talk directed at political opponents has become the norm for our society. And if we are not careful, we can easily get caught up in the fray. But what would happen if we did our very best to practice civility? What if we were careful to, as Paul says, speak words that give grace to those who hear? Might this work to help keep our conversations more civil and less combative? Next, Paul warns about grieving the Holy Spirit by our bad behavior and our lack of self-control. Paul suggests that when we are baptized, we receive the mark of the Holy Spirit. So now, because we are Christ's representatives, we must conduct ourselves in a way that is honoring to God. Paul then sums up his last several statements by saying that if we are really practicing Christians, then things like bitterness, wrath, anger, arguments, slander, and malice will eventually be put away. Those things will then be replaced with kindness, tenderness, and forgiveness. But guess what? This will only happen. It will only take place if we are constantly working to get better at doing these things. In other words, practice, practice, practice. It seems that, according to Paul, the true measure of living out the Christian life is how closely we can pattern our lives after the example of Jesus Christ. There are two principles that I think Paul communicates very effectively in this part of his letter. The first one is that if we expect to mature in our faith and become an effective witness for Jesus Christ, we must be part of a church. Part of a community of believers that will encourage us and mentor us. Two, that we must daily practice the principles of the Christian faith and apply what we learn in our personal study and in church on Sunday to everything we do in our daily lives. No, practice will probably not make us perfect, but it will make us better at following Christ and living out the principles that he taught, so that we may be salt and light. Amen.